Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. I've mentioned that Mosiah is my favorite book in the Book of Mormon, and Chapter 7 is where the story really starts to get going. But to make it make sense, let's review a little bit of background here. So, Mosiah just started ruling. King Benjamin gave this final speech that's taken the last several chapters, hands the kingdom off to his son Mosiah. Mosiah's been ruling for about 3 years. And it's been about 476 years, we learned in the last chapter, since Lehi and his family left Jerusalem. So that's where the Book of Mormon started. This guy Lehi has a family, they're living in Jerusalem, about 600 years before the birth of Christ. Lehi has a vision, takes his family, they leave town, they cross the ocean, they end up in the Americas. And ultimately, that family group breaks into two different civilizations. There are the Nephites, who tend to be righteous, and there are the Lamanites, who tend not to be, and they're constantly fighting with each other. And when that break happened, Nephi took his family and his followers and fled, and they established a new land called the Land of Nephi. And they were there for a long time, and that became the Nephite homeland. And they were there for several generations and thrived, but then bad things happened. We don't have a ton of details, but the previous king Mosiah, so the current king's grandfather, took the righteous people, and they fled from the land of Nephi, and they came to the land of Zarahemla, and that's sort of Nephite headquarters now, at the time that King Benjamin hands the kingdom off to Mosiah, his son. Now, a couple generations ago, at the end of the book Omni, a group of Nephites wanted to know what happened to their homeland. What is going on in the land of Nephi? And so they went off to find it. And the first expedition was a failure. They ended up, there's a lot of infighting, and they came back failures. But they reorganized the group, and they went off again, and nobody has heard from them since. They went off to find the Nephite homeland, figure out what happened to it, see if it's still there, and they just disappeared. A generation probably now has gone by, and in Chapter 7, the people decide they want to know what happened to that group. So let's hop right in. And now it came to pass that after King Mosiah had had continual peace for the space of 3 years, he was desirous to know concerning the people who went up to dwell in the land of Lehi-Nephi, or in the city of Lehi-Nephi. For his people had heard nothing from them from the time they left the land of Zarahemla. Therefore they wearied him with their teasings. And it came to pass that King Mosiah granted that 16 of their strong men might go up to the land of Lehi-Nephi to inquire concerning their brethren. And it came to pass that on the morrow they started to go up, having with them one Ammon, he being a strong and mighty man, and a descendant of Zarahemla, and he was also their leader. And now they knew not the course they should travel in the wilderness to go up to the land of Lehi-Nephi, therefore they wandered many days in the wilderness, even 40 days did they wander. This is going to be a recurring theme. The people of Zarahemla don't know where the land of Nephi-Lehi is, the people in the land of Nephi don't know where the land of Zarahemla is. Anytime somebody tries to go from one of those cities to the other one, they end up getting lost. So these people, they're charging off, let's go find that land, but they have no idea where they're going, and they're just wandering around for 40 days. Verse 5, and when they had wandered 40 days, they came to a hill, which is north of the land of Shilom, and there they pitched their tents. And Ammon took three of his brethren, and their names were Amalekai, Hillam, and Hem, and they went down into the land of Nephi. And behold, they met the king of the people who were in the land of Nephi, and in the land of Shilom. And they were surrounded by the king's guard, and were taken, and were bound, and were committed to prison. So they find the land of Nephi, and they go down, and there's the king of the land, and he's out there with his guards, and as soon as they see Ammon, who's leading this expedition, and the three guys he brought with him, they surround him, they bind him in chains, and they throw him into the dungeon. Verse 8, and it came to pass that when they had been in prison 2 days, they were brought before the king, and their bands were loosed. And they stood before the king and were permitted, or rather commanded, that they should answer the questions which he should ask them. And he said unto them, behold, I am Limhi, the son of Noah, who was the son of Zenith, who came up out of the land of Zarahemla to inherit this land, which was the land of their fathers, who was made king by the voice of the people. And now I desire to know the cause whereby ye were so bold as to come near the walls of the city, when I myself was with my guards without the gate. And now for this cause have I suffered that ye should be preserved, that I might inquire of you, or else I should have caused that my guards should have put you to death. Ye are permitted to speak. And now when Ammon saw that he was permitted to speak, he went forth and bowed himself before the king. And rising again, he said, O king, I am very thankful before God this day that I am yet alive and am permitted to speak. And I will endeavor to speak with boldness, for I am assured that if ye had known me, ye would not have suffered that I should have worn these bands. For I am Ammon, and am a descendant of Zarahemla, and have come up out of the land of Zarahemla to inquire concerning our brethren, whom Zeniff brought up out of the land. And now it came to pass that after Limhi had heard the words of Ammon, he was exceedingly glad, and said, Now I know of a surety that my brethren who were in the land of Zarahemla are yet alive. And now I will rejoice, and on the morrow I will cause that my people shall rejoice also. So we had these two different Nephite civilizations, the ones in Zarahemla and the ones in the land of Nephi, and neither group was really sure if the other group was still alive. And now we've had contact between the two. This is very exciting. Verse 15, For behold, we are in bondage to the Lamanites, and are taxed with a tax which is grievous to be borne. And now behold, our brethren will deliver us out of bondage, or out of the hands of the Lamanites, and we will be their slaves. For it is better that we be slaves to the Nephites than to pay tribute to the king of the Lamanites. And now King Limhi commanded his guards that they should no more bind Ammon nor his brethren, but caused that they should go to the hill which was north of Shilom, and bring their brethren into the city, that thereby they might eat and drink and rest themselves from the labors of their journey. For they had suffered many things. They had suffered hunger, thirst, and fatigue. And now it came to pass on the morrow that King Limhi sent a proclamation among all his people, that thereby they might gather themselves together to the temple to hear the words which he should speak unto them. And it came to pass that when they had gathered themselves together, that he spake unto them in this wise, saying, O ye my people, lift up your heads and be comforted. For behold, the time is at hand, or is not far distant, when we shall no longer be in subjection to our enemies, notwithstanding our many strugglings, which have been in vain. Yet I trust there remaineth an effectual struggle to be made. Therefore lift up your heads and rejoice, and put your trust in God, in that God who was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and also that God who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and caused that they should walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, and fed them with manna, that they might not perish in the wilderness. And many more things did he do for them. And again, that same God has brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem, and has kept and preserved his people even until now. And behold, it is because of our iniquities and abominations that he has brought us into bondage. Now, in this next several verses, Limhi is going to, he's talking to his people, and he's telling them their own history, and so they all know this history, so it's a very abbreviated form. We are going to have a flashback in a couple chapters and get all this history in depth, but this is just sort of a preview of what's coming. Verse 21, And ye all are witnesses this day that Zeniff, who was made king over this people, he being overzealous to inherit the land of his fathers, therefore being deceived by the cunning and craftiness of King Laman, who, having entered into a treaty with King Zeniff, and having yielded up into his hands the possessions of a part of the land, or even the city of Lehi Nephi and the city of Shilom, and the land round about. And all this he did for the sole purpose of bringing this people into subjection or into bondage. And behold, we at this time do pay tribute to the king of the Lamanites to the amount of one half of our corn and our barley, and even all our grain of every kind. I imagine the people here, boo! And one half of the increase of our flocks and our herds, boo! And even one half of all we have or possess, the king of the Lamanites doth exact of us, or our lives, boo! And now, is not this grievous to be borne? Yeah, it's grievous! And is not this our affliction great? Yeah, it's great! Now, behold, we have great reason to mourn. Yea, I say unto you, great are the reasons which we have to mourn. For behold, how many of our brethren have been slain, and their blood has been spilt in vain, and all because of iniquity. For if this people had not fallen into transgression, the Lord would not have suffered this great evil should come upon them. But behold, they would not hearken unto his words. But there arose contentions among them, even so much that they did shed blood among themselves. And a prophet of the Lord have they slain, we'll learn more about this later, yea, a chosen man of God, who told them of their wickedness and abominations, and prophesied of many things which are to come, yea, even the coming of Christ. And because he said unto them that Christ was the God, the Father of all things, and said that he should take upon him the image of man, and it should be the image after which man was created in the beginning, Or in other words, he said that man was created after the image of God, and that God should come down among the children of men and take upon him flesh and blood and go forth upon the face of the earth. And now, because he said this, they put him to death. And many more things did they do which brought down the wrath of God upon them. Therefore, who wondereth that they are in bondage and that they are smitten with sore afflictions? For behold, the Lord hath said, I will not succor my people in the day of their transgression, but I will hedge up their ways, that they prosper not, and their doing shall be as a stumbling block before them. And again he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the chaff thereof in the whirlwind, and the effect thereof is poison. And again he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the east wind, which bringeth immediate destruction. So, Limhi just quoted a bunch of passages that we haven't seen anywhere else, and as far as I know, don't exist in the Bible. So I'm not exactly sure who he's quoting here, but his message is pretty clear, right? We're in a tough spot. The Lamanites are ruling over us in a brutal fashion, but it's our own fault. We got here through our own choices. We killed a prophet of God. We fought amongst ourselves, and now why should we be surprised that we're in a terrible position? But the sun is coming out. It looks like God's going to save us. He sent some of our brethren from the land of Zarahemla, and I have hopes that we're going to be rescued. I feel like all of this can be applied to our personal lives, right? Like, probably not very many people listening to this podcast are in bondage to a hostile nation and forced to pay 50% of everything they have. But we get ourselves into tough spots all the time through our stupid mistakes, and life can look really pitiful, and we can have a bleak outlook because of the trouble we get ourselves into. But I think these final two verses from Limhi, which wraps up his speech and finishes off the chapter, are worth bearing in mind. Verse 32, "And now behold, the promise of the Lord is fulfilled, and ye are smitten and afflicted. But if ye will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart, and put your trust in him, and serve him with all diligence of mind, if ye do this, he will, according to his own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage." And that's the end of this chapter. In the next chapter, Ammon and Limhi are going to talk some more.